They are unplugged. Just a minute, Jim. I'm sorry, we're having a little problem here.
My screen says that you're recording. The little button is on.
All right, well then, it didn't show it here. Let's assume it's right then, and go ahead, Jim.
Okay, well, praise God. We are blessed to be with you. Before we begin, I'd just like to have Sister Joanne pray. So I think you can hear her okay. Why don't you come over here? They can see you.
Good morning. Hallelujah.
There you go.
Lord, we just lift this time to you, God. We just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercies to us. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to bring forth your word, Lord. We pray, oh God, for an anointing. We pray, Lord, that your word would just flow, God. We're asking for you to speak through Jim today, God. We just thank you and praise you for who you are, that you are God and that you are above all principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, Lord. We just thank you, God. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you for this word. Thank you for this group of people.
Amen.
We just pray, God, for anointed ears for each one of us, God, to know what you are speaking to each one of us as individuals.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Praise God. Well, there were some thoughts on my heart, and I had asked Brother Mark to be able to have this opportunity to unburden my heart. And I don't know, well, I'll maybe flash a little bit here. I don't know if you can see this big pile of boxes we have in our living room, dining room, but we are making preparation to relocate from Texas to Illinois. Specifically, we feel an urgency at this time to be near our family and to be able to minister to our family. There was a couple that we knew here in Texas, and about maybe 2 years ago, they relocated to California to be near their family. And at the time I said, my goodness, you don't go to California, any place but there, you know, the politics, the whatever. And now I find myself in a similar position where it doesn't matter the politics, you know, we need to be where God wants us to be at this time and at this hour. And we need to be with the people, and especially the people of God that God has called us to be with, because we are indeed in the end of time, the end of days. And so as we're going through things, I'm going through a few things we have stored in our what we call our storage closet. And the food things that we have there, I noticed some of them had some expiration dates that were well past. And so I said, well, that's expired. We have to get rid of it. And whether we know it or not, we all have an expiration date. God knew our beginning. He knows our birth, and he knows our days and what our days would be. And but there is something that the sons of God, God is going to give them an expiration date that won't expire. I don't know how else to say that, but we're going to beat death. Amen. There's a people living on the earth today that are going to beat death, that will have no expiration date. Now, if you look back at the timeline, okay, God is eternal. And at the end of, well, let's just say at the end of time. Okay. At the end of time, as we know it, we're going back into eternity. So it was eternity at the beginning. It's eternity at the end. And this little window in between is what we call time. And time, as we know it, has 6 days, 6,000 year days. And at the end of the sixth day, there's going to be a seventh day, 1,000 year millennial day of rest. And then we are going to go back into eternity. And so what happened in the beginning of time is that God promised to Adam and Eve immortality. And they had one thing to do, and that was to eat of the tree of life, and they would live forever. They would have immortality. And of course, we know what happened. They were hijacked in the garden. They were hijacked, and the devil deceived them, and man fell from grace. He fell from that opportunity of immortality. And first of all, that was a very, very great fall. I mean, there was no such thing in God's creation as sin and death. It just did not exist in God's economy on the earth. And so sin, death, sickness, all entered in. And so the great benefactor of all of this sin and death was the devil. Because just like God is life, the devil represents sin, death, hell, and he feeds. It's incredible to think this, but the devil feeds on death. He loves death, and he loves the shedding of blood. And so now we're going to give approximate dates, okay? So for approximately the first 2,000 years, the first 2 days, man began to multiply. And let's just take a look at that real quick. And Glory, are you putting scriptures up? And if you are, that's quite all right. And I'm just, okay, so we're going to go to the book of Genesis, chapter 6. And I was looking at this, And I saw some things there that kind of quickened me. And so I want us to go to Genesis chapter 6, and we're going to begin in verse 1. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, the daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Now, let's clarify this first of all. All of those that had a covenant, so you know that Abel was murdered by his brother Cain simply because he made a covenant with his God that was acceptable, and Cain's was unacceptable. And so there was a distinction between the sons of men and the sons of God. So now, when we talk about intermarriage here, we are talking about those who are sons of God, covenant people with God, beginning to intermarry with the sons of men. And you saw this especially in the book of Ezra, when they came back from Babylon and began to rebuild the city and the walls and the temple. Some of them, and some of them were even priests and of the tribe of Levi, began to intermarry, of which the laws of Moses forbid. You cannot, and incidentally, we as sons of God cannot go out into the world and pick a husband, a wife. We cannot intermarry with those that are not of our kind. Amen? I know you're saying amen. Because we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and we cannot intermarriage with those who do not have like vision. And so this is what was happening. And let us clarify something, which I don't know that it needs clarified, but I'm going to say it anyway. There was no intermarriage between any kind of man's creation, God's creation of man, with fallen angels. Okay, can we please put that aside? There's no angels intermingling with men. It is absolutely a lie. It's a deception. And that's all we're going to say about that. And we're going to move on, because the intermarriage here were those who were covenant people, sons of God, intermarrying with those that disrespected the covenant the same way that Cain did. And he became a murderer. Hallelujah. Now, before we move on, I want you to see that they began to multiply. Verse 1. The sons of men began to multiply. Now, first of all, exponentially, the population began to explode. Now, just as a fact, when World War, somewhere around World War I, before World War II, in that era, does anybody know how many people were on the earth? There were a little over 2 billion. Now, I don't think we have anyone here old enough to experience that they were around during World War I, but just think about that. That's just a little over 100 years ago. The population of the earth was 2 billion people, and now the population is 8 billion approximately. Do you see the exponential growth? Now, with that growth, there was the multiplication of sinners. Sin was multiplying. And the sinful evil population of the earth exceeded the sons of God. And so God saw that it was only evil, wickedness, completely, entirely, and that God had to step in to save the sons of God. Okay, so so God made a covenant with man and with the earth and with the animals that were in the earth. He made a covenant with all living things that he was going to cleanse, purge the earth. And so the first purging was by water. Now, before we move on, well, go down to verse 5. We're in Genesis 6 and verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Get a hold of that, brethren. God was grieved in his heart over this beautiful creation that he had made. And this is how great the fall of man was. The fall was so great, it grieved the heart of man that he had even made man. Okay. I, the Lord, will destroy, verse 7, man. I will destroy man whom I have created off the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping things and fowls of the air, that for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah, one of the sons of God, Noah found grace where? In the eyes of the Lord. Now think about that for a minute. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He had a face-to-face relationship. We're not reading anything into this. We're just reading what the scripture says. He found grace in the eyes. He had a face-to-face knowing relationship with the living God. Eye to eye. See eye to eye the salvation of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Okay. And, well, one more verse here, verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Okay. The same way that Enoch walked with God. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, because God took him right on into eternity. Noah was a perfect and just man and walked with God, and God took him into the ark and spared him of, let's just say, approximately, there could have been a billion people. Easily, there could have been a billion people that God had to destroy off the face of the earth because wickedness, evil, sinfulness was so great. He had no other option. Okay. Verse 13, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, and the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them off the earth. And so then, of course, we know that he built the ark, and we're not going to go into the details of building the ark. And down in verse 19, it says, and of every living thing, of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark what? To keep them alive. Did I say something about God made a covenant with man, with the earth, and with the animals to keep them alive? He was preserving man. He was preserving the very animals that he had made. And he was preserving the earth because everything God made was good, and God never intended it for it to end. Hallelujah. Now, we're going to skip over to chapter 7 of Genesis now. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. And down in verse 4, for yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. So the first judgment that God made was to cleanse the earth with water. Now, it's a covenant relationship that you and I entered into. Think about it. And I'm going to, we may come back here to Genesis 7, but I want to go quickly to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Oh, sorry, I'm in Corinthians. Romans chapter 6. We'll start in verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into what? His death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Baptism was a covenant that God made, that even though I'm going to destroy every living thing from off the face of the earth, I have a covenant with the sons of God to save them. Now, maybe while we're here in the New Testament, one more quick verse in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, and we go down to verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen. Amen. We are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath what? Who hath raised him from the dead. But we are risen with him. Now, go back to Genesis chapter 7. And, okay, he opened the windows of heaven. We're in chapter 7. And go down to verse 15. And they went in unto Noah, into the ark, two by two, of all flesh wherein is the breath of life. Verse 16. And of course, we're speaking of the animals that went into the ark. And they that went in, male and female of all flesh, and God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. the Lord shut the door. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bear up the ark, and it was lifted up above the earth. Judgment. Judgment by water was upon every living thing on the earth. But God had a covenant with the sons of God to hide them in this ark and to lift them up above the earth. Think about it, brethren. Judgment was on the entire earth. And we're just, as a number, we're throwing out there, 1 billion people perished on the earth. All of the animals, except those that were in the ark, who God gave commandment to Noah to keep them alive. Everything perished. That's every living thing. But God lifted. He made a covenant. And you made that covenant. Amen. When you were baptized in water, you went down into the water. You came up out of the water in newness of life. You were made a covenant with God that God was going to lift you above the judgments that are coming on the earth. Hallelujah. Now, the next. Okay, so what happened was Noah. And we have to read this before we move on to the next covenant. Genesis chapter 9. So the ark rested on Mount Ararat, and he came out of the ark. He was told by God to build an altar and to make a sacrifice. And, well, probably we should read a couple verses here in chapter 8 before we go to chapter 9. Chapter 8, verse 20, and Noah built an altar unto the Lord, and he took of every clean beast, of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite anymore every living thing as I have done. And while the earth remaineth, seed time, harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night will not cease. And of course, we know that the covenant God made, and it's later on in chapter 9 here, was that the rainbow was a sign that this is a covenant relationship that I have made with the sons of God. Okay, and now we're in chapter 9, verse 1. And God blessed Noah and his sons, and he said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Remember, the sons of men were multiplying out of control and surpassing greatly the population of the sons of God, and God had to cut it off and destroy every living thing. And now, after the flood, he's telling Noah, replenish the earth and multiply, because I want the earth to be filled with sons of God. Okay, and then, of course, a couple verses here in 9. Verse 12. And God said, this is the token of the covenant that I made with the sons of God. This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations, all the way up to our baptism. This is a covenant that God has made with us. I do set the bow in the cloud, and it shall be a token of the covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature upon the earth, that and the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. So it's an everlasting covenant that he's never going to again flood the earth with judgment, using water as the judgment. But he's going to use water to sign the covenant of baptism with the sons of God. Now, again, we go on to, remember now, we're talking about the 6 days. The first 2 days, God made a covenant with Noah to save the earth, to save the sons of God in the ark. And now we go to the next 2,000 years from the time of Noah all the way up to the time of John the Baptist, okay? The old covenant, the 2,000 years. So we were up to 4,000 years. In that 2,000 years after the flood, the same thing happened. The sons of men began to multiply. And again, sin surpassed the sons of God. It passed righteousness. So the earth was again. Now, if you were to look into some of the empires, the great empires, the Babylonian Empire, the Egyptian Empire, the Assyrians, and then of course the Medes and the Persians, and then you have Alexander the Great leading up to the Roman Empire. They were bloody empires. They had no respect for life. No respect. They sacrificed children. Now, do some of these things sound familiar? They're sacrificing millions of unborn children, trafficking, all of these things. That there is nothing new under the sun, brethren. All of these sins were in that day up to the Roman Empire. And sin was surpassing righteousness. So what did God do? Remember, the first covenant he made was the covenant of baptism, where he baptized the whole earth. The second covenant he made was with blood. And well, let's go on, okay? We come to the time where, again, evil is surpassing righteousness. And the sons of men are multiplying beyond the sons of God, beyond the righteous generation. And God says, I have to judge the earth. And this time, the covenant that I make is going to be with blood. And when Jesus Christ was lifted up, did we say something about the ark being lifted up? And if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Jesus Christ being lifted up on the cross, off the earth, made a covenant with his blood to again save the righteous generation. the blood was a sign of judgment against sin. Now, we're not going to go into all the scriptures, but you know the scriptures. That the blood was a covenant that God was again making with all mankind in the life of the flesh is in the blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So here's the covenant. You must come through the blood or you will perish. This is the covenant. Because sin has become exceeding sinful and God had to judge the earth again in the second 2,000 years because wickedness had increased. And so now, the covenant he made, and the covenant he made with us, is that the blood is going to give you the life. And everyone that rejects the blood is rejecting the covenant, is rejecting the promise of life that I am giving now. Every living thing, every soul upon the face of the earth is under judgment now because Jesus Christ came and made a covenant in his blood and said, if you reject this blood, there is no other salvation. There is no other means of salvation. So let us just take a quick look at this covenant. Ephesians chapter 2. We're done with Genesis. So Ephesians chapter 2. And well, Ephesians is one of my favorite books, and this is one of my favorite chapters. So I'm a little partial here, so I'm going to read a few more verses here. So let's just start in verse 1. Ephesians chapter 2. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. And remember, because you were dead in trespasses and sins, the judgment was upon you. Why? The judgment was upon you because Jesus Christ made a covenant with his blood that you either come through the blood or you will perish. So you were under judgment. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And those spirits are working in this generation. And those spirits are increasing, just like it was in the days of Noah. Those spirits increased, and what did they want? They want to devour man. They wanted his blood. Now, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, our lifestyle, in time past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, and he hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And we know that before the foundation of the world, the blood was shed for our salvation. And we know that while I'm quoting I believe it's Romans 5:8. While we were yet dead in sin. Oh, come on. Ah. Memorized that verse 50 years ago. Now I can't quote it. Romans 5:8. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for you, died for us. While we were yet sinners, this is what he's saying here in Ephesians. And hath raised us up. We're back in Ephesians 2 and verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now let me read that again. And hath raised us up together. What happened in the days of Noah? Noah was lifted up above the earth, above the judgment. Noah found life. Noah found grace, this same grace here. Because he was lifted up off the earth, and the judgment was on the earth, but Noah was saved. And all that were in the ark, including the animals, it was important for God to save his creation. Now, what is he saying to us? We that have made not only this covenant of water baptism, but now we have made a covenant with his blood, that his blood will save us. Okay. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he would show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ, through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, as a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Brethren, the earth is under judgment now. And it is under judgment and condemnation because Christ came and made a covenant with his blood, and all who reject it will receive the wrath of that judgment. But what about the sons of God? He raised us up into heavenly places. That while the judgment was on the earth during the flood, Noah was raised up. While the judgments are in the earth now, God has raised up a people, raised up the sons of God to be in heavenly places in Christ Jesus above the judgments that are on the... Believe it, brethren, these plagues, these judgments that are coming on the earth are not meant for the sons of God. The sons of God are going to be seated in heavenly places, raised up above the earth, because the earth is under judgment. He made this second covenant with us by his blood. And before we go on, I want us to see this. We're in Ephesians chapter 1. And, well, again, this is my favorite book, so we're going to read a couple extra verses here. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Where were these blessings? Up in those heavenly places in Christ. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Brethren, we are accepted in the beloved. In whom, verse 7, we have redemption through his blood, a covenant. We have a covenant, a blood covenant. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So now, we have a covenant, the same covenant that Noah had, made with water. That though judgment's on the earth, he's going to save the sons of God. Now we have a covenant in blood. That though the judgments of God are in the earth, God has a covenant with the sons of God to what? To raise us up in heavenly places, that the judgments that are in the earth will not take the sons of God. I hope you're saying amen. Joanne, are you saying amen? I don't hear you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, we fast forward to the end of time. I don't believe there is anybody that is listening today that doesn't believe that we are in the end of time, the last days, and we are in the last part of the last day. So we had 2,000 years and we had the flood. We had 2,000 years and Christ came and gave us his blood. Now, we fast forward to 2,000 years. We're up to the sixth day, the 6,000 years, and we are at the end of that day. God again is going to send a judgment. But this time, he will not judge the earth with water. He made a covenant. The earth is under judgment because of the blood. And now the last judgment that is yet to be revealed is judgment by fire. So let us take a look at a couple of scriptures about that judgment that is by fire. I had a scripture written down, and I can't find it. But, let's try this one. Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. But now, verse 1, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the water, just like Noah, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the, what? The fire. Thou, when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. God made a covenant with the sons of God that when the fire is on the earth, God is going to save his people. Let's look at one more scripture. Zechariah chapter 13. Zechariah 13. And go down to the last few verses here. Verse 8. Then it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but a third shall be left therein. And I will bring a third part through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call upon my name, and I will hear them. And I will say, it is my people. And they will say, the Lord is my God. The fire is meant to bring judgment upon the earth, because wickedness again has surpassed righteousness, and sinners are multiplying faster than the righteous generation, the sons of God. And so God has to bring this fire once again, one last time, to cleanse the earth, to judge the earth. But what about the sons of God? The fire is going to refine them. The fire is going to purge them. And God is going to lift the sons of God above the fiery judgments that will be on the earth. So let us look. Let us look, first of all, at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 in the first verse. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. God gave them this fire as a sign that the judgment is going to be in the earth, but the fire is not going to hurt you. The fire is going to refine you. And because the fire is going to be inside of you. And the first thing, brethren, and this is a word for every one of us. The first thing God is going to judge and tame in every one of us is that little tongue. Amen. The fire is going to purge and tame the tongue so that you will speak forth the righteousness of God. Now, another scripture, Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. And we go down to verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and what? With fire. Do you know why the fire is not going to hurt the sons of God? Because our baptism is in fire. Baptism is our salvation. The baptism of fire is our salvation. The fire will not touch us, because we will be lifted up into those heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I want you to look at something with me. This is a story that we're very familiar with in Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. And we're going to go down to verse 24, but before we do, you know the story. Nebuchadnezzar built this image and he said, everybody's going to bow down to it. Well, the three boys, and I'm not going to use their heathen names. Well, I know their names are Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. Okay. I don't like to use a heathen name, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But these three sons of God said, no, I am not going to bow the knee to this image. Okay, then the judgment is going to be fire. And you know the story. He told them to heat the furnace seven times hotter and cast them into the fire. And those that cast them in were consumed by the fire. And the three young men were in there, and the fire could not touch them. So we're down in verse 24. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished, and he rose up in haste, and he spake and said to his counselors, hey, are you guys seeing this? Are you seeing what I'm seeing? He said to his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Why could the fire not touch them? Because Jesus Christ was in the fire with them and lifted them above the elements of the earth. They were lifted up into those heavenly, they were in a heavenly place in Christ, with Christ, and the fire could not touch them. Are we getting this, brethren? The judgment of fire is on the earth, even now as we speak. But God has promised salvation and deliverance from that fire to the sons of God. Now, I want to read something to you. Josephus, some of you may not be familiar with him, but Josephus was a historian. He lived after the time of Christ, and he began to record Jewish history. And this is what Josephus recorded about this situation in Daniel. This is his historical writings, okay? The fire did not touch them, as if it reasoned with itself that they were cast into the fire without any fault of theirs. The fire reasoned with itself and says, wait a minute, these people are innocent. I can't touch them. It was too weak to burn the young men when they were in it. Why was it too weak? The fire couldn't touch them because they were lifted up in heavenly places with Christ, in Christ. And just like Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, they were seeing eye to eye. They were looking eyeball to eyeball at Jesus Christ, their Redeemer, in the midst of the fire. Eye to eye to see the salvation of the Lord. It was too weak to burn the young men when they were in it. This was done by the power of God, who made their bodies. Oh my goodness, brethren. Josephus had to have a revelation. God bless the man. Listen to this. This was done by the power of God, who made their bodies so far superior to the fire that it could not consume them. Do you know what these three young men experienced? They experienced immortality. While they were in that furnace, they went on and they died and they were buried somewhere. But in that moment, when the fire was rising up around them, they were experiencing immortality. The fire could not touch them.
Amen.
Brethren, we, the sons of God, in the time when the fiery judgments, they've begun. But when the fiery judgments, when those plagues begin, when those plagues begin and those angels begin to pour out their vials on the earth, God is going to hide the sons of God and lift them into heavenly places in Christ off the earth. A few more scriptures. I want you to go to John chapter 6. And we're going to try to finish right here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. John chapter 6. And we'll start in verse 35. John chapter 6. In verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Now, I'm going to stop there for just a minute, because when tribulation begins, and it's going to involve the whole earth, every nation, every continent, every people are going to be under this judgment of tribulation. The sons of God are going to be here. How is he going to feed us? How is he going to give us water? We live in Texas. You can't survive without water. None of us can anyway. But how is he going to feed us and give us water? Let's read it. I am the bread of life. I'm going to give you bread, living bread. Just like I did to 3 million people in the wilderness in the times of Moses. Just like I caused water to come out of the rock. I'm going to tell a story. We were involved with prison ministry for about 14, 15 years. And we had a brother that was in prison from Puerto Rico. Yeah, Ruben was from Puerto Rico. And he came to us one time after the service, and maybe some of you have heard this story before, but it's well worth repeating. Ruben came to us after the service and he said, would you please pray for my mother? She lives in Puerto Rico. There's a hurricane coming that's going to hit the island. And she lives on the seventh floor. I'm going to say it's a seventh. I don't remember what floor he said, but I'm going to say it. But she lived way up in a high rise. And she lives on the seventh floor. Would you please pray? And she did not evacuate during the hurricane. She stayed in her apartment on the seventh floor. And so we came back and we prayed and we said, yes, may God overshadow and cover Ruben's mother in Puerto Rico from this hurricane. Well, we came back. We used to come in once a month. We came back the month later. And we said, Ruben, how is your mother? He says, oh, let me tell you. He said, first of all, the hurricane never touched her building. She was spared. But the whole island was out of power. And he says, I don't know how long they were out of power for, but he said, my mother went and laid hands on all of her electrical outlets. And while the whole island was out of power, Reuben's mother had electricity. And not only that, she was on the seventh floor and she was a light to the nation. Her lights were on. Her light was shining because she believed God and God spared her. Hallelujah. Will not God spare his elect? Amen. I hear you saying amen. I know you're muted, but I hear you saying amen. Verse 35, Jesus said that I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. And I said unto you that they also that have seen me and believe not, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and in him that cometh to me I will nowise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Verse 39. This is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Did we catch that? When the fire is on the earth, when the fiery judgments are on the earth, and when is it? At the last day, I'm going to lose nothing. My sons are going to be saved. Why? I should lose nothing, but should raise it up. Is that what it says? Am I reading this? I'm going to raise them up. They're going to be hidden with Christ in God, raised up, seated in heavenly places with Christ, in Christ, in the last day. When the fiery judgments are on the earth, we are going to be raised up above the fiery judgments. Now, this is so important that Jesus said it four times in this chapter. Again, in verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will, what? I will raise him up at the last day. Jesus Christ is giving us a word for the last day. He's saying, I'm going to raise you up in heavenly places above the judgment and above of the fire that is destined to purge the earth. But that fire is going to refine you as gold is refined in the fire, as silver is refined in the fire. That fire is going to refine us. Okay, verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. One more in verse 54. We'll start in verse 53. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. But whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will what? I will raise him at the last day. There is an admonition There's an admonition that Jesus is giving to us here. He's saying, if you want to be raised up, when? At the last day. If you want to be raised up into those heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that when the fiery judgments are in the earth, you will be spared, you will be raised up, you must do this. Eat my flesh. Drink my blood. He's telling us we are going to have to feed on Christ. Brethren, the food is in the body. The food he's giving to the body, it's the order of God. It's the divine order of God that we be in a body, in the body, feeding off Christ. What is our bread? What is our food? It is the bread of life that comes down from heaven. And there's a feeding. Listen, Joanne and I have beautiful times before the Lord. We worship the Lord. We get into the Word. The Spirit of God comes in our prayer time. But it's not the same as when I'm in the body, gathered in the body, with the body. That's why, listen, I don't know how to say this. It's not the best that we have to gather on Zoom. But thank God we have the Zoom. I can see you.
Amen.
You can see me. And guess what? We can have on the Zoom. We can have the anointing. We can have the Spirit of God moving in our midst. And what's more important, we can have this living bread being broken before us. Living bread. He's saying, if you want to be lifted up in the last day above the fiery judgments, do this. Eat my flesh. Partake of the meal that God is giving to the body, because there's a special operation. There's an expression of God that is in the body that is not anyplace else, because Christ is the head of the body. And Christ knows how to take care of his own. Brethren, eat his flesh, drink his blood, the life. When we gather in the Spirit, the life flows. And that's because the blood, the covenant that we made in blood, is with us. And it heals us. It delivers us. It gives us life. It sustains us. So, brethren, may God help us. May God help us in this hour to press in. To press into him, because his cup is full. And there's only so long that God can hold back his judgments. But when those judgments begin to come, I don't know if I can find, maybe the one more verse. When the judgments, okay, I know where it's at. It's Isaiah 26. This is a good verse for us to end on. It's Isaiah 26. And I promise Just like Brother Duciel used to promise, this is my last scripture. I'm making the same promise. This is my last scripture. Isaiah 26. And verse 8. Oh, this is such a beautiful chapter. I'd like to read more, but we'll skip down here. Our time is moving on here. Verse 8, Isaiah 26. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to thy remembrance of thee. Verse 9. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. With my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. God wants to teach the nations of the world a lesson. When the judgments are in the earth, you're going to learn what righteousness is, because I have a righteous generation that are spared. And they're going to say, how are these people eating when they have no food? How are they drinking when they have no water? How are they spared when the fire of judgment comes down all around them? They are spared. How is it? Because God has a righteous generation. Okay, we go down to verse 20. We're still in Isaiah 26. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers. What are the chambers? Just like Noah entered into the ark, just like the wise virgins entered into the door at midnight, the sons of God are going to enter in to those chambers when the judgments are on the earth. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity, and the earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. Nobody gets away with anything. All of the murderers. I like that what Brother Daniel said about the Ukrainian and Russian war. He said it's killers killing killers. Well, this time, it's going to be the judgment of God on every murderer, every fornicator, every adulterer, every liar, every thief, every sin known to man. God's going to bring the judgment, but he's going to have a people hidden with Christ in God. All right. I broke my promise. We're going to read one more scripture, and this is going to be it. I promise, really. Colossians. Brother Mark knows this verse very well. I'm in Ephesians. I need to be in Colossians. Colossians, and I believe it's chapter 3. Okay. Is it 3? Mm-hmm. Okay. Chapter 3, Colossians. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Risen, lifted up, off the earth in a time of judgment. You're lifted up. Where are you lifted up to? Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is what? hidden in the secret place of the Most High God. You are hidden with Christ in God. That when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. May God help us to press in, to press on into that secret place, that hiding place, because the judgments are in the earth and the cup of his fury is about to be poured out. But all those that are hidden with Christ in God will be spared and will receive life. While death is all around, we are going to be receiving life. God bless you, brethren. I thank you for your patience and thank you for this opportunity to share. May God bless you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. God bless you, brother. Amen. God bless you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Brother Jim. Thank you. God bless.